You are about to hear another episode of The Deerslayer, dramatized and directed by Charles Frederick Lindsley.
Deerslayer and Judith Hutter have left their house in the middle of the lake to find the two canoes which were lost in the night. They have found one which drifted close to the shore, but in rescuing it, Deerslayer has his first encounter with the enemy and is forced to shoot an adversary in self-defense. He and Judith have taken to the water again in search of the second canoe.
I didn't want to take his life, Judith, but I had to. Or he would have taken mine.
You should be very proud, Deerslayer. It was a very accurate shot you made. You didn't even have time to aim. I can see why men brag about your rifle shooting.
I don't wish to boast about the exploit. It was slaying a human, although he was a savage.
Is this the first warrior you've ever killed?
Yes. I have fought with most of the creatures of the forest, such as bears, wolves, and catamounts. But this is the beginning with the Redskins.
Why didn't you take the scalp? That's always done, I'm told.
No hand of mine will ever molest a scalp. If I was an Indian, I might, and then brag about it. But I'm white, and my vouchers are white.
All white men don't think that way.
Oh, yes, I know. But then there are miscreants of every color. And evil practices by a few will not make an act right. Keep your eyes open, Judith, for the other canoe. We'll turn this one loose. The wind is blowing toward the castle now, and it'll be safe. That is light, and we can look after it.
I see the other one now, Deerslayer. Look. Just up the lake there, and drifting slowly into shore.
I see it. Let me help you with the paddle. Ah, it isn't moving with the natural current of the wind, though. I can't account for that.
Did you leave a paddle in it?
No. All the paddles except the ones we are using are at the Ark. I took them with me when we found the boats last night and set them adrift. Why?
I'm sure there's something in motion on the other side of that canoe.
I believe you're right.
What can it be?
I have it, gal. There's an engine in that boat. He's lying in it and paddling toward the shore with his arm. He must overtake him before he gets into land.
Be careful, Deerslayer. He may be armed.
Not likely, gal. He swam to the boat while we were just occupied and is trying to get it back in this method.
He's heard us. Look, he's on his knees now. Take your rifle.
I won't need it. Here, Redskin. If you've enjoyed yourself enough in that canoe, take to the lake again. I don't crave your blood. Take to the lake again before we get to hot words.
I thought as much.
He's off to the shore, Judith. But he'll have his rifle in a few minutes. Here, take a hold of his canoe and I'll put us beyond his rifle. We've got the boats now and we'll join Hetty at the castle.
Well, here we are, Hetty. We have all the canoes at the Ark now and we're safe for the present.
Did you see anything of Father?
No, we have no chance for that.
Do you suppose he and Harry will find a way of escape?
It isn't likely, Hetty. But when Chingachgook comes tonight, we'll make some plans for their release.
What can two men do against a whole band of Indians on the warpath? I'll go ashore and tell him to let Father and Harry go.
The Indians may do you no harm, Hetty, but they'll hardly listen to any such proposal as that.
Tell me something about your father, Judith. Harry tells me he was once a sailor.
If Harry knows anything of Father's history, I wish he'd told it to me. Sometimes I think he was a sailor, and sometimes I think not.
Has he nothing among his belongings that would tell about his past?
I've never seen anything. But if that chest of his was open, or could speak, we could find out something, I'm sure.
A chest?
Yes, he has a large chest in his room, fastened with heavy iron bars and three locks.
Did you ever see the chest open, Jude?
No, never. Father never opens it in my presence, if he ever opens it at all. No one here has ever seen its lid raised.
You're wrong, Jude. Father has raised the lid, and I've seen him do it.
When and where did you ever see that chest opened, Hetty?
Here, and many times. Father opens it when you're away. He doesn't mind my being near and hearing what he says and watching what he does.
Well, what is it he does and what is it he says?
Well, that I can't tell you, Judith. Father's secrets are not my secrets.
This is strange, Deerslayer, that Father should tell them to Hetty and not tell them to me.
There's good reason for that, Judith, though you're not to know it. Father's not here to answer for himself, and I'll say no more about it.
Can I see the chest, Judith?
It's right next to us here in Father's room. It's fastened, though, and he keeps the key hidden.
You mustn't disturb it, Judith. You mustn't.
Father's in danger. He may never come back, and the chest may give us information that will tell us more about who we are. It may have something that we could use for ransom.
No, no. I tell you, Father wouldn't want you to open it. It'll do us no good. Don't, Judith. Leave it alone, please.
Here's the box, Deerslayer. It's fastened with this padlock and these iron plates. Do you know where he keeps the key, Hetty?
He's never shown me that. I think he keeps it with him. Please, Judith, let's leave it alone. You'll be sorry.
Let's look for the key, Deerslayer. It's probably hidden somewhere in this room because Father wouldn't run the risk of carrying it. He knows it would be safer here. You look along that wall, and I'll look over here under these clothes. Hetty's just superstitious.
Did your father ever give any downright command concerning this chest, Judith?
No. He's always appeared to think that its lock and steel bands are its best protection.
It is a rare chest, anyway. Why, this wood comes from no forest I know of. The chest itself would buy your father's ransom.
He seems to prize what the box holds more than the box itself.
Well, I don't like to pry into another man's affairs. But if the chest has articles for your father's freedom, it seems to me they would be wisely used in redeeming their owner's life.
But it doesn't belong to you, Deerslayer, or to Judith. You have no right to molest it.
When the lawful owner of a buck or a trap or a canoe isn't present, his next of kin becomes his representative by all the laws of the woods, Hetty. Being the oldest, Judith, you have the right to say, in my opinion.
When my father's life is in danger, I can't hesitate. I say we'll open it if we find the key. I've been looking for it here on this wall. You take a look for it in those drawers over there, Deerslayer. Don't stand there staring at us, Hetty. Help us search.
I'll not help. And I hope you don't find the key. It's sinful.
But it's for Father's sake. You love him, don't you?
More than you, Judith Hutter. I love him so much I'll not disobey him. I know he'd not have you do this.
Well, the key's not here, Deerslayer. Let's look in this room next, which belongs to me and Hetty.
I won't stay with you. And I tell you again, you'll be sorry if you do this evil thing. You'll be sorry.
So this room belongs to you and Hetty?
Yes.
It would not be hard to tell which side belongs to you, gal. You love finery, they say. And I guess these handsome garments don't belong to the meek and lowly Hetty Hutter.
Oh, that's just another evidence of Hetty's weak mind, that she thinks fine clothes are frivolous and sinful. Oh, don't waste any time looking among her things, Deerslayer. Nothing we seek would likely be found there.
Your father trusts her, as she said. I reckon it'd be the most natural thing for him to hide the key among her clothes, if it's in this room at all. Look in that coarse pocket there.
Deerslayer, it's the key. It's the one, I'm sure. Come, quickly. It is the key. Oh, there. Oh, Deerslayer, perhaps Hetty is right. Maybe we should find some other means of releasing Father in hurry.
Not so, gal. No means are as easy and certain as a good bribe. The lid'll open all right. It's loaded with iron and held by its own weight. Here, let me try it. Here's a full cargo. Bring some stools while I open this blanket on the floor and we'll begin our work orderly and in comfort. Well, the first thing looks like a king's garment.
A man's coat. Oh, what beautiful ornaments. All red and gold. Is it a military coat?
It's like none I ever saw, though it may be. But it's an extraordinary thing. I think this will do, Judith. No Indian heart could withstand colors and glitter like this. If this coat was ever made for your father, you've come honestly by your taste for finery.
That coat was never made for Father. It's much too long. Father's short and square.
Cloth was plenty if it was, and glitter cheap.
I should like to see it on your shoulders, Deerslayer.
What? See me in a coat fit for a lord? If you wait till that day, Judith, you'll wait until you see me beyond reason and memory. No, no, gal, my gifts are my gifts, and I'll live and die in them, though I never bring down another deer. What have I done that you wish to see me in such a flaunting coat?
Because I think the false-tongued young gallants at the garrison ought not to be the only ones to appear in fine feathers. I think truth and honesty should be honored.
What honor to me, to be bedizened and bescarleted like a Mingo. No, I'm well as I am. Lay the coat on the blanket, and we'll look further in the chest. Here's something for you.
Oh, a dress. A brocade. Oh, how beautiful. Look, Deerslayer. It's just my size, too. Look.
I don't know a better way to treat with a Mingo's gal than to send you ashore in that and tell him a queen has arrived among them.
Oh, I thought your tongue too honest to flatter. I've respected you because I thought you truthful.
'Tis solemn truth, Judith. Never did eyes of mine gaze on such a glorious creature as you stand there with that dress falling from your shoulders.
Well, of what use could a dress like this be to an Indian woman? She couldn't wear it among the branches of the trees.
I think this is all we'll need now to trade with the Redskins. Maybe we shouldn't explore further in the chest.
But we might find something even more valuable to trade for ransom. Let's take everything out. Oh, look! Pistols! Inlaid with silver. Did you ever see arms like these, Deerslayer?
I saw an officer at the fort once who had just come from Europe who carried a pair like them. Here, let me see them, gal.
Are they loaded?
White men are careless in putting away firearms in chists and corners. Let me open the pan and see. Yes, it's filled with priming, but it's been here so long it's caked like a bit of cinder. But this gun's a handsome thing to look at, though. Child guns, the Delawares call these pistols.
I can tell by your eyes, Deerslayer, that you'd like to be trying them. I can see that they're a challenge to your marksmanship. Is it safe to fire a pistol that's been loaded so long?
It's very neglectful to leave a piece loaded so long. It takes fresh priming to ensure a proper discharge. Well, there's scarce a season goes by, but someone in the settlements don't suffer from one of these forgotten charges.
What do you mean?
Why, the pistol hangs fire as it's timed. And I have known weapons to break into fragments when...